While we're not turning to the Gospel of John this time, we will resume that next week. Two Lord's Days ago, I planned to preach sort of a New Year's sermon, I guess, and I got ill. So we had the elders' work session, so I thought I would share this. We're still in January, so this is just some thoughts from the book of Colossians in chapter 3. And we're only going to focus on the first two verses. A book well known to us, Pastor Sam has referred to this book with regard to teaching of our children and other responsibilities in the family. But we're just going to focus on verses 1 to 2 today, but we will read the first 11 verses. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. These two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing you put off the old self with its practices, having put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Jew, Greek, and Jew. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. There then, and we'll just focus on the first three verses, rather I should have said. Well, this is one of those prison epistles, and the Apostle Paul, while imprisoned in Rome, receives a visitor from the church at Colossae, Epaphras, and he informs Paul regarding the state of the church. To a large extent, the report was favorable. The church was bearing fruit increasingly, and in the faith and hope and love, these were evident. And we see this in verses 3 to 8 of chapter 1, where he says, "We thank God always for you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope you have laid up in heaven." And he talks about them bearing fruit and having heard the God of grace, the grace of God in truth, as he learned from Epaphras, this faithful, beloved servant, a faithful minister of Christ on their behalf. He's made known to them the love in the Spirit. There's a mixed batch of this congregation, and Pastor Sam has already told us, I think last week, that these are mainly new converts in the church, most probably mostly Gentiles, but some Jews, and they were recent, and they came out of a coarse, sensual background, some of these Gentiles, dark times, sensuality among pagans, which was evident in these times. And Epaphras points out to Paul that there was a very real possibility that some of these people were slipping back into these formerly grossly sinful habits. And so Paul writes this letter to the saints to warn them against falling back into former sinful ways, as well as to direct attention once again to the Son of God, who they must trust and love and worship him, as Colossians says, as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And there were false teachers coming into the church, just as our Lord Jesus Christ has predicted before he left this earth. And these people preach the Christ plus salvation, Christ plus circumcision, Christ plus new moon festivals, Christ plus ceremonies. And as a result, in chapter 2, Paul emphasizes freedom in Christ, freedom from all these things, freedom from human regulations, washings and ceremonies. He says, in Christ you have died to the basic principles of this world. There's therefore no need for regulations, legalistic rules that don't achieve holiness. as he says, and if you look at chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, if with Christ you die to the element spirits of the world, why do you live as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion, asceticism, severity to the body, but they are no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So that's a little bit of background to this book, which is a very familiar book to most of us. But let's remind ourselves here in holiness that it is not so much in the keeping of certain rules and not doing this, that, and the other. But holiness is the wholehearted striving towards in every area of my life in pleasing God and living for His glory. And we need to recognize, as these Colossians did, the all-sufficiency of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our justification as well as our sanctification. It is in Him that we must live. And this involves, as he says to the Colossians, the putting to death of all the former things. The former things, the former securities, the things that made you feel better as a person. And I like to do these good works because I must at least contribute in some way to my salvation. This is what some of these people felt. Rules and ceremonies, which have no benefit, says Paul, for sanctification, for justification or sanctification. And so we come to chapter 3, and we can understand why some people have called the beginning of this chapter and headed it Rules for Holy Living. Rules for Holy Living. For it is rules that they were after. And they had all these things that they wanted to remember. New moons and festivals and sacrifice and some pagan horrible things that they used to do, including temple prostitution. And it's almost as if Paul is saying, it's rules you want. Forget the former rules. Forget the celebrations, ceremonies that made you feel like you were doing well or contributing to the advancement of your holiness. Paul stresses, as always, it is by grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone, that we can have peace, true peace, growth in true faith, hope and love, by continuing to live in Him. And that is the message here. As we find ourselves early in the new year, perhaps we too need to be reminded to go back to the basics. We need to, first of all, put to death the former things. Put to death those little pet sins. Put to death those things which distract us from worshiping God aright. Put them to death daily in our lives. And positively, we need to be living to and in Him alone. Putting aside those things that we cling to, even the good works and the things that make us feel better and make us feel a little better than others perhaps, or make us feel, this makes me feel like I'm progressing more in holiness and sanctification. We need to, these things have no value of acceptance before God. And verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3 gives us, if you like, rules for holy living. Listen to them. If you have been raised with Christ, if you're a believer, seek the things that are above. You want some rules? Here it is. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And Paul is saying, the answer to this danger of slipping back into former sins, the solution to that inbred desire to contribute or to have these ceremonies or religious things that you used to do, observances, here it is. Consciously set your affections on Christ and on spiritual matters. Notice that the things on earth are set in opposition to the things that are above in our new life in Christ. The favoring of things that are above will automatically, Paul is saying, weaken our affection for earthly things. For these are associated, in the case of the Colossians, with remaining sins and the former sins. And if we are not focused on Christ, our desire for those things will come back. And if our desire is fixed on Christ and on heavenly things, that will help us loosen our grips on the earthly things that we have. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. And I know even in the 21st century and in 2019, and I've said 2018 many times, we're forever telling ourselves that we have to have good balance. And I know speaking with non-Christian family members, they kind of harp on this. You must have a good balance. A good balance of church and family. Balance the pursuit of wealth with the pursuit of holiness. Balance the pleasures of the world with the pleasures of heaven. Paul gives different advice. I'm not saying it's absolutely wrong to have good balance in these things, but Paul seems to be saying, forget the balance. The Christian life is a new life in Christ. It encompasses everything. It doesn't just cause you to rearrange priorities. It gives us a new focus, which is all-encompassing for all aspects of my life, including the family life that Pastor Sam has been teaching about. Everything, including my job. Yes, including your job. Including taking care of your mother or brother or sister or sick friend in everything that we do. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your mind, consciously set your mind on things that are above, not on earth. And the advice in chapter 12 of Romans, in verse 2, is the same. It's a new life. It's a new way of thinking. We live according to a new principle of life. All is in Christ. And so do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And in Christ alone there is satisfaction, true fulfillment, true joy in the gospel. Psalm 116:11 says, for in thy presence there is fullness of joy. You make known to me the path of life. Thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Consciously set your eyes upon things that are above. And Paul, in these verses, very simply and briefly, I hope this afternoon, it gives us three reasons for this. And you may ask, why should we set our minds on earthly, why should we not set our minds on earthly things? And earthly things are important. I live here in California in 2019. I have a family to support. I have a ladder to climb at work. I have to advance myself. I must do better. I must provide better. I must ensure that my family is taken care of. I must ensure that I can retire and pay my way one day until the Lord calls me. Perhaps you're a young person. You have so many aspirations and dreams. You want most of all to secure that good job. Get married, start a family. And I remember as a young man, I said, Lord, I'd love you to come, but not now. I want to get married. I want to have kids. And we so grasp at the earthly things. And Paul says, you have a new life in Christ. Set your minds and your hearts on things that are above. But I'm here and I live in the 21st century. I'm in life and this is real. My friends, the gospel didn't come, as I thought as a young man, to take away that, but rather to give you a new life, which leads to a new focus in all things. And Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Not only the future joys of heaven, but here in our Canaan, prosperity and joy, and above all, godliness and contentment, which is great gain. We not to live, be so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly use. You've heard that phrase before. But we have a new perspective. And our thinking is different. and our whole life and my family and my job and my neighbor and my social and my relaxation and my pleasures, they are centered all about Christ. Everything to the believer is about Christ. And perhaps we need to remind ourselves at the beginning of the new year, forget the old things, forget the former sins, put them to death. We have a new life that is in Christ. That is our focus. And we live in a society that is so anxious. And we all become anxious. Me too. And family gets sick. And my mother-in-law is confined to a bed. And everything seems to be changing. Nothing's the same. And we become anxious because these things are important. And yet Jesus Christ's calm words come to us amid the anxious things about life. And he says to us today from his word, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what should we eat, what should we drink, what should we wear? The Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow be anxious for itself. Sufficient is for the day is its own trouble. So there, let's see the three reasons Paul gives us for this new way of living in Christ that follows. Firstly, and they come right out of the text, they're really simple. There's nothing profound here today, I assure you. Number one, because we are dead to present things. Because we are dead to present things, to former things too. Verse 3 of chapter 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 20, same thing. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as though you were still alive in the world, do you submit yourself to regulations? Why are you worrying about new moons and festivals and things that you think may be pretty holy and pretty good to get? They have no benefit. Set your heart on things which are above. Who's there? Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He intercedes there for you. He takes care of everything, and you need not be anxious. But change your focus. Change your heart. Change your love. Set it up there. And some of these Colossian believers came out of very dark and sinful backgrounds. We mentioned that. Paul reminds them that those lives are now dead and buried. It's no longer they that live, but Christ that lives in them. They are dead to their old selves, to their former world governed by sin and self-gratifications. Their lives are now bound up in living with and in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why pay attention to these false teachers who would delude you into thinking that there's benefit in rituals and celebrations and human commands? You have the reality. You have Christ, as chapter 2 and 8 reminds us. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit, according to human tradition, elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Everything is in Christ, and you'll be filled in him, who is the head and rule of all authority. Here is the new way for the believer. Back to the basic principle of the gospel. You are dead to all these former things. Some of them may have had some limited benefit in a previous life, but now you have the reality. The ordinance of baptism that we as Baptists love and dearly love and obey, the command that Jesus Christ gives us to go through the waters of baptism, gives us a wonderful, a perfect picture, symbolizes that fact that we have died with Christ. We have died to our former way of life. We haven't just died, we leave it there buried, and we come up out of the water in him in baptism and now are raised to newness of life in him. My friends, this doesn't mean that all earthly responsibility ceases. I needn't tell you this. This doesn't mean you give up your job or stop pursuing your career and become more heavenly minded and think, well, it's no big deal, I haven't got a job, I've got more time to worship God and Jerusalem. That's not what it means at all. It doesn't mean like some of the Corinthians who said, let's just sell our stuff and we'll live in a commune and hopefully that'll last us until Christ comes again. No, but it does mean that Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my will, my all. It means whatever I do with a view to God's glory. I do by this new principle of life in me. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. When I work, when I study, when I play sport, when I socialize, when I date, I do with Christ as my living head. I do whatever I do with dedication to the glory of God. Now, one of my favorite films of all time is Chariots of Fire. And I can watch it. Anyone hasn't seen it, I'll come to your house and watch it with you. I can watch it over and over again. At one point, Eric Liddell is going to China as a missionary. And he was a missionary in China for many years. I believe he died there. With his sister, who was very prudish and, you know, really, and she was just like heavenly minded. Eric, sport, he loved rugby. What a man. He loved to run. And his sister cornered him one day in the movies. Eric, I fear for you. Sport. We were made for China. And Eric's answer to her was right on. He says, I believe God made me for a purpose, for China. But he also made me fast. And Eric Liddell was the fastest wing of Scotland, a great rugby player. And he said, when I run, I feel God's glory. And that's just an illustration. I'm not trying to put theology into that. What I'm saying is whatever we do, word and deed, we do with thanks and we do with fullness. And it doesn't just have to be Bible study, but it's all encompassing in everything in my life. Galatians 2:20 tells us, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why must we set our eyes, our minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth? Because we are dead to present things. We have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Secondly, because our true life lies in the other world. Our true life lies in the other world. Again, in verse 3, for you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Herein, brothers and sisters, lies our great confidence, our hope. What a blessed truth of all the uncertainties that we find in this fleeting life. Your life, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter how short it is, or how long it is, or how prosperous it is, or how happy it is, or how full of infirmities it is, doesn't matter, because it's hidden with Christ in God. Our new life is concealed from the world. They do not understand it, but for us who are being saved, it is secure. It's hidden with Christ in God, and the greatest calamity that can come upon a human being is no fun, but we can truly say, my life is hidden with Christ in God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Not only is this secure new life in Christ concealed from the world, but our new life hidden with Christ in God is indestructible and everlasting. John 10:28 reminds them, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You shall live even though you die. No one will snatch you out of my hand. Our life lies in the other world, hidden with Christ in God. The life that the false teachers in Colossae were propagating was one of Christ plus an outward show with ceremony. About what to eat and about what not to eat. It was about the outward show of things. It was about not letting go of the old things and seeking to add them to the perfect work of Christ. Even the pagan festivals. You have died to that life, says Paul. It's now hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, prove it in the way that you live. Therefore, live in Him. Therefore, make Christ the number one priority in your life. He is your new benchmark. Make obedience and allegiance to Christ number one priority. And if there's a questionable moral thing, decision, there is no question. My life is hidden with Christ in God. But don't you think, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. Lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Brothers and sisters, if this is the new principle by which we live, that new life that's hidden with Christ in God, if this is the renewing of our minds, it will make an impact on our daily lives. It does not remove you from this life. It does not make you so earthly, heavenly minded that you know not earth of any earthly good, but it will cause you to exhibit in your lives the wisdom of God and the peace of God, the eternal security in Christ. Everything in this life will take on a new perspective. Everything we do in this life, from the sacred to the mundane, should be viewed as preparation for eternity. We have new glasses, and so we view our jobs and our marriages and our children and the discipline in our home and our good works all through this new life that's hidden with Christ in God. How we spend our free time, our extra money, our talents, everything will reflect whether we truly store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. These are high and difficult benchmarks. But this is what the new life in Christ is all about. This is what we're preparing for in eternity. Why do you settle for so little? Content to do the bare minimum? Why is the gospel not producing fruit and growing right here in our own lives so that the people will have to sit up and take notice? Notice the love and the joy and the hope which is produced in lives lived for Christ. Well, perhaps because our eyes are not fixed on Jesus and we don't realize that our new life is hidden with Christ in God as they ought to be. And perhaps we cling a little bit too closely to our earthly securities and our comforts. We consider our duty done to God when we attend church once at least. I can say once at least, maybe even twice on Sundays. Beyond that, we can't find time to meditate privately in the Word and seldom spend more than 3 minutes in prayer. Among all our earthly pursuits, we can't seem to find time for God. Set your eyes upon heavenly things, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Have we forgotten that this is our new focus? This is all encompassing, making demands in every part of my life. That new life gloriously hidden with Christ in God. Matthew Henry says, though we are made free from the obligation of the ceremonial law, it does not therefore follow that we may live as we list, as he says. We must walk the more closely with God in all the instances of evangelical obedience. As Paul was admonishing these believers in Colossae, so with us. If all is not what it ought to be, when we find it more comfortable to live by regulations, we need to go back to basics. As we find them in these three opening verses of this chapter. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the earth, for you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Paul's admonition is very practical. The Colossians are urged to ponder and yearn for things which are above. We need to be proactive rather than focus on what we ought not to be doing, rather engage our mind in the positive method of overcoming sin in our lives, which is characteristic of false teaching. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision, leave no room for the flesh to gratify its desires. In Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the only way to put to death the things of the flesh, by living in the Spirit, by living this new life that is hidden with Christ in God. We're nearly done. Thirdly, the final reason Paul gives us why we should set our minds on heavenly things, things that are above. Thirdly, because at the second coming, we will have the perfection of happiness. Because at the second coming, we will have the perfection of happiness. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. When on the day of his coming, a day known only to God, to Christ, our life will be made manifest, his attributes of majesty and power being publicly displayed, then the Colossians and every believer in Christ will be manifest with him. Philippians 3:20-21 summarizes this Christian hope. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And the Bible says that Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and we who look forward to his coming will share in that same joy and glory unspeakable. And the race that we have run with determination, and the faith that we have kept and was kept for us as it was hidden with Christ in God, will be rewarded with eternal life as our bodies are clothed with immortality, shedding these old bodies. And we will know an eternal life of joy and bliss, free from pain and sorrow, free from uncertainty, free at last from sin or any temptation to sin. And we will have perfect freedom to worship God and to enjoy him forever. Brothers and sisters, in the light of this sure and certain hope, in the light of our new lives hidden with Christ in God, in the light of the great sacrifice that Christ has made to secure all this for us, let's resolve in this new year to live. Let's resolve afresh to live to him, to give ourselves anew to him, to that new life in Christ, putting to death the present things and living our lives in the new world, in the other world, where our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Let's take seriously as the Church of Christ the responsibility that is ours to take this message of hope to those who are perishing as it is offered as the free gospel to all men. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look at our lives and we are embarrassed at the little thought we sometimes give to the glory that awaits us, to the great price that was paid on Calvary to rid us of all our sins. And you have forgiven us our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And yet, Lord, we confess we return sometimes to those very sins that we are supposed to put to death. And we would pray, O Lord, as this new year is upon us, that we would in our lives, in our jobs, in our families, in our church, in our relationships with friends and family, that it would be very obvious to them that our hearts, that our minds are set on things above. We have died to earthly things and pleasures and self-righteousness, and our new life is hidden with Christ in God. Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you there at your Father's right hand, where you pray for us that we would not sin, where you pray for us, where you keep us strong when the hour of temptation comes. Help us, dear Lord, to live as those who love the gospel. Help us to live as those who have a new and precious pearl of great price. Help us to live in every aspect of our lives to our living head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, we pray, as we pray for the forgiveness of our sins, in Christ's name.